Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and today is the day. It's Election Day 2008, almost like it's the first day of the rest of our lives together. I have been blogging all day. I probably don't sound as excited as I usually do because I'm angry right now. I got this whole piece recorded of me getting up at 4:30 and doing all this and walking to the poll and voting, and then the guy there told me, you can't record here. We shut off the camera, and I lost a little bit of my end footage, but it's all good. I'll get it uploaded at some point this afternoon. So today I am broadcasting from my house in Jersey, in case the sound sounds a little bit different. It's 12 noon right here on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. You hear the church bells ringing. There's a huge church right by my house, so you probably hear the church bells ringing. I have my windows wide open. I'm not even sure what the temperature is, but it is absolutely gorgeous. It has to be at least in the 60s because all of the windows of my house are open. The heat is off. I've got some candles in my window, and it just smells really, really nice. We have a great show planned for today. Actually, today is a special two-hour show. I typically don't do, I don't have two-hour shows. We started in July. Funny thing is we started the show in July at 30 minutes, and then before the end of July, we ended up making it to an hour. And now today, I just couldn't help it. I just had to make it a two-hour show today just because there's so many wonderful people calling in, so much stuff to talk about, and it's just going to be an absolutely historic day. So I'm going to get right into today's show, right into today's conversation, and bring in one of our very, very first special guests who happens to be my grandmother. You guys hear me talk all the time about my grandmother. Well, I convinced her this morning to call into the show. Hi, Grandma. How are you?
Hi, Saida. I'm all right.
Can you do me a favor and turn down the TV?
Because yes,
we can
I
hear
can.
It in the background.
All right.
Everybody, this is my grandmother. Her name is Lillian, and she's such a sweetheart. She is 87 years old, and this is a very historic moment for her. Grandma, did you ever think that you would see a black man run for president,
no,
let alone be president?
I never did think that would happen. I really didn't.
How do you feel?
Huh?
How do you feel about it? Yeah.
I feel very good about it because we belong to the United States, too. So my people have a right to be president of the United States, too. So that's the way I feel about it.
Do you remember, I don't remember back in the 60s, but I know back in the 60s they would turn hoses on people of color, and we had segregated water fountains, and we had, just black people were treated like crap, basically. So,
well,
I mean.
I came up in Columbus, Ohio, and it was worse than being down the South. They were so discriminated there. And they were even in the department stores, they didn't even want Afro-Americans in. And there were certain stores that we had to go to when I was a kid growing up. And that was...
So now that you see this man, what was your feeling when you first saw Barack or when you first heard about him running for office?
Well, I was very pleased about seeing all of this and to know that I had lasted long enough in the world to see it, because I never even entered my mind that this could ever happen. So,
Does it matter to you, Grandma, that he is of mixed heritage? Because some people are saying, well, he's not all the way black, or he's half black or half white. Does that matter?
No, it doesn't matter, because Afro-Americans are mixed up from way back. So this doesn't matter with him being mixed, and it's all right with me.
Well, do you think that Barack Obama is going to win, Grandma?
Well, I'm praying that he does. I have put it in God's hand that he will, because I think that he needs to be there, because his platform is very, very good. He's thinking about the little people as well as the big people that's getting it all. So this is it.
Grandma, do you think that, and this is a very real question, do you think that once he gets into office that black people have a real fear that he'll be assassinated?
Well, they have that fear now. So the thing of it is, if you know God, then you turn all of this over to him to protect him, and he will. So ever since I saw in the paper and on TV about the skinheads, I know that's in some people's mind that they may try that.
Do you think that that would really happen, or do you think that this man was really sent here to change everything?
I think that he was sent here to change things.
I really do.
I think that God put him there, because I had never heard of Obama until now, and it just like he came out of nowhere and was very, very good.
Well, I have to let all of my listeners know, do not be fooled by my grandmother's voice. Tiffany just put in the chat room, oh, her voice is so sweet. Y'all don't know. Sitting around my grandmother's table on Sunday afternoons with me and my husband and my grandmother and my father and my stepmother, we have some very strong political debates. And basically that's how I was raised, with these very strong debates. And my grandmother reads. Grandma, how many newspapers do you read a day about?
I got 2 newspapers a day.
And I have to say she reads them from cover to cover.
I sure do. Without my newspapers, I can't make it.
Yeah,
because that was what I had to do when I was a little girl in school. I was quizzed on what was in the newspaper when I got in school. So newspapers I have been reading since I was a little girl.
Caller from 347-291, I think that's NY Oil. I see you on the switchboard. I'll get to you in 1 second. Let me finish up this segment. I'll be right with you. Just didn't want you to think I forgot you. So, Grandma, how do you think the country is going to change if and when we move to Obama?
Well, I don't know how it will change, but I'm hoping that the people will come more and more together in this country, because they have been split for a long, long time. Everyone looked at Afro-Americans as if they really didn't belong here. But that's not so.
Of course it's not so. We have every right to be here.
That's right. And that's the reason that when I came up as a kid and lived through discrimination, this was very bad. And I didn't only get this when I was a little girl. I got this even on my job when I worked.
Okay.
Different foremans that didn't like me because I was Afro-American.
Well, it's funny because I just want to share one story, Grandma, and I'll let you get back to your day. One of my neighbors, she was a little girl. Grandma, remember one time we were sitting on the porch of your house? And I think it was Charisse, when she was really little, said, "Miss Paige, why are you white and Saida's black?"
And that's
because,
what she said.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That's just what she said. And I told him, she said, because you look like my teacher. That's
right.
What she said.
That's
and
because...
And she was just a little girl about 5 years old.
Yes,
and
she
that's,
was...
that's what she said to me.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's funny because she was such a little girl.
Everybody, yeah.
There's a picture of me and my grandmother in my first book, From Hip Hop to Heaven. But my grandmother is very, very fair skinned. And no, Grandma, I'm not calling you a little Jewish woman.
Well, you can tell tell anyone that a doctor as much as called me that one time.
Well, yeah, because my grandmother's kind of short, and she's very fair skinned, and all of her Jewish doctors like her.
And I have osteoporosis very bad.
But you're still with us, and you still make dinner every Sunday. Grandma, before I let you go, I just want to ask you, we know that race is going to change between black and white and black and Hispanic after this election, but do you think race is going to change between our own people, like with the light versus the dark?
Yes, I think so, because that was embedded into to Afro-Americans with some of them being known. As I grew up, there was kids that were half white and half black that left their families and went to Washington, D.C. to work and to pass so that they could get good jobs. And so I know all about that. So it's time now that we all come together and stop looking at color and whatnot.
Well, I appreciate it so much. Everybody, you are listening to my 87-year-old grandmother, Lillian, who still cleans her house, cooks Sunday dinner and everything. Right, Grandma?
That's right.
Grandma.
And can barely make it.
Yeah, but you're making it, so stop.
Yeah, because of God.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. Is there any words that you would like to leave with all of my listeners today, Grandma, before you get off the line?
Well, I just say I am happy that this has come to pass and that I know that God is with Obama, because otherwise, he wouldn't be up there.
Well,
and I'm just
you.
Happy to see all of this happening before I left this world.
Well, Grandma, I thank you very, very, very much for calling into the show today. It means a lot, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners can benefit from your wisdom and your 87 years that you've seen. Being born in 1921, you've seen a lot.
I certainly have. I've seen, and in fact, I'm into the genealogy.
Yeah, you are.
Right today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, you are. Well, Grandma, I love you. I'll let you get back to your day, and I probably won't see you today, but I'll see you really, really soon.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Grandma. that was my grandmother, everybody. Y'all know I lived with her for a long, long time. My phones are ringing and everything else. But right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in my next guest. I believe this is NY Oil on the line. You with me?
Yeah, no doubt. NY Oil is here.
Thank you so much. I saw when you called in, but I just didn't want to, like, abruptly cut my grandmother off.
Nah, don't do that, Kat. You know what I'm saying? Kat, Kat's coming chasing me down. You know what I'm saying? You got one of them grandmas that got, like, the traditional grandma voice, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, baby, you know, so.
Yo, let me tell you, do
you
not.
You know, normally be messing around, you know.
Yo, my grandmom is barely 5 feet tall. Like, she barely even comes to my shoulder. And we all tease her because she's so light and she's got straight hair. Yo, do not get it twisted. She has picked up brooms and beat me over the head with it. So.
Yeah, I know that's right. I don't want that trouble right there. I'm trying to.
I'm not messing with her.
I just sat silently and let that go down. Like, yeah, we just.
Yeah, I know, right? Yo, everybody, you're listening to NY Oil. He is a very, very special guest. He and I were on the phone talking a lot behind the scenes last night. I'm very happy to have him with us. Yo, tell everybody who you are, what you're doing, and let's jump right on into this conversation.
Sure. For those that are just hearing me for the first time, my name is NY Oil. My claim to fame and what initially got me out here is that I did a song called Y'all Should All Get Lynched. And the reason why I did it was because I was so frustrated with the conditions of the neighborhoods and just the culture generally. And I just felt like somebody needed to get punished. And, I'm looking at the root cause, the fact that cats are doing things that are messed up in our community and they need to be held accountable for it. I did that, and next thing you know, I'm on my way. I'm somebody that people want to talk to because of what I had to say.
Yeah, you and I have just shared so many conversations behind the scenes and just, you know, privately just discussing what's going on, the election, you know, everybody just, you know, for those who may have missed, NY was on the show 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday and really talking about what's going on with the election and ramifications of it. Today is a special two-hour show, and probably during the second half, like halfway through the show, I'm going to turn on the news, give everybody an update, and really see what's going on. Talk to me. What do you think now? What has changed, if anything, about where we were 2 weeks ago? But before we do, I just want to say, Tiff in the chat room is saying that she loves to hear from you. Like, she's excited, and she was waiting to hear from you. So just wanted to let you know. Just a big shout-out to How Elegant in the chat room, The High Road in the chat room, Tiff in the chat room. Hey, Tiff, I'll talk to you, you know, behind the scenes. And, yes, we got him back. So he's right here live and in living color with us. But talk to us. What do you think, if anything, has changed since the last 2 weeks since you were with us? And can you talk up just a little bit? I can barely hear you.
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Is this good or do I need to...
No, that's a little better. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I thought I was on the show last week. Wasn't that last week?
It was last week? You just going to call me out like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I ain't want nobody, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to call...
It probably was.
I'd be like, man, I ain't listening to nothing this cat say. He don't even know when he was on the show last. He said he was on it 2 weeks ago.
It probably was last week. My bad. It's all good.
But I tell you, Si, I just feel so, so good, sis. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, let me tell you, I've stayed up all night. You understand? All night. I didn't go to sleep at all. I just stayed up online just chatting and, you know, just looking at videos on the net. I mean, I just was just doing whatever I could do, you know, and I just stayed up. I wasn't even trying to stay upside. You dig it? I just stayed up. 4:30 in the morning, I got my folding chair, my little blankie, some waters, you heard? And sat in front of the polling place, which is right across the street from my apartment buildings, and it's the and it was the same school as my alma mater. So, man, I sat in front of there and just waited out the first one to vote in my election, in my district.
Wow.
So, and I just feel so good. Like, you know, it's not just the fact that, you know, I voted for, you know what I'm saying? Go McCain, go Palin. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait, don't do it.
Nah, you know, it's not just that I voted for Barack, you know what I'm saying? And... it was the fact that I was that I voted. Period. You know, so I do. I vote. Let me say that I vote. But I didn't vote in the last election with George Bush versus Kerry.
Mhm.
And you know I felt a little guilty about that. So you know, I just feel good that I voted, and it was so beautiful because there were so many brothers and sisters outside. You know, like it wasn't a joke. You know, you thought that. You know, at first I thought I was going to be the only, you know, brother out there. And mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you, you know, initially a lot of the black women is coming out in full effect. So I just
really?
Want to get a black woman. Yes, sisters is doing it. I'm so proud of y'all because y'all going so hard. And you know, and sometimes, you know, as a brother, sometimes I get frustrated when I hear people say things like, oh, you know, the black woman is the one that's holding anything on their shoulders, whoop, 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 you know, bothers me. Because I feel like, you know, that's not accurate. It's not fair. It's not right. But I have to be honest when I say that the majority of what I'm seeing is sisters is out there, kid. Sisters is out there. And that speaks volumes to the fact that, you know, Barack has done a lot of subtle things have happened.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people, you know, all right, I, and not to big myself up, but let me use this as an example.
Yeah.
When I did the song Y'all Should All Get Lynched, right, I stood up with confidence and conviction and fearless about the issue, what I had to say, and then was able to articulate my position clearly. A lot of people gravitated to it and were excited about what I had to say and felt so good. A lot of sisters gravitated to me, and not off the negative where it's like all about, you know, sex and all that kind of groupieism, but in terms of real, like, sisterly, brotherly love, like, you know, very excited to see a black man stand up the way a man should stand up. And it really speaks volumes to the deficit and the need in our community for clear examples of black manhood.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, there's a lot of brothers that may hear me saying this and be like, yo, son, I'm doing, you know, you're making it sound like I'm not. Now, I'm not saying that you're not doing it, because I'm doing it, you know, so we're doing it. But that's how bad the need is, Paul, that people are like, yo, the sisters is being out for. Like, really, it's such a deficit that when the sisters see somebody like Barack Obama, now you got brothers that's still caught in the male bashing era, and I was one of them, because I'd be so upset at how we, you know, the male bashing time frame was allowed to happen and how it just vilified the black man for years, you dig, on the morning talk shows and all like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you see how sisters have gravitated to Barack, you know, just love and admiration, tears streaming, because they just believe. To hear your grandmother say she thinks he's sent by God, to hear a woman say about a black man sincerely, sincerely, unprovocated, that she believes that he's sent by God. When is the last time you really heard that in our community, that in our discussion and dialogue about one another, that one of us, that a black man, in the eyes of his woman, has been sent by God? You don't hear that anymore.
Right.
That divine inspiration and confidence in a man is so not present. So when I, you know, when I was sitting out there, you know, I'm out there, I'm thugged out. I got the freaking the parka on, booted up. You know what I'm saying? I was NY all full failure. I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Sitting out there like, you know, I was on the block. And I was like, oh, I don't care what nobody say. I'm going to come out. I want people to see that we out here. The black man is out here. We representing that we not the lost cause. That, you know, we going, you know, Barack Obama was able to show a different facet of who we are.
Exactly.
Make no mistake that we are. You know what I'm saying? We are, and we're here, and we're here in all our multitudes, and we're repping. And I would like to see more brothers, but I've seen a lot of brothers, though. Don't get it twisted. Like, I don't want to give off the impression like I was, like, the only dude out there. Cause
right.
It's just, you see a very high quantity of females out there. You know, I've seen sisters that their husband was still in the house sleep. Like, I'll go ahead. I'll go after you. You know, I'll go later on. Ain't like waking up so rough. But, you know, but it was a very beautiful experience. So I hope that everybody else that voted had a similar experience, because it was just wonderful for me.
I want to touch on something you said, and you hit it where you said it's the little subtle things. I was one of those people for a long time, up until very recently, nothing's going to change, because I was such a cynic of politics and politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched how I've even handled situations because of Barack. And I never, you know, I'm like, I ain't no role model. I'm even caught up in it, because he is so smooth. He's, like, so calm. He does his thing. He's unfeathered. And that's one of the things that a lot of people have said about him. A lot of the white political pundits have said, yo, Barack is really smooth. You know, he stays calm. You know, McCain is all over the place, this and that. And I think just watching that, watching how he's handled it, I've watched him tap Michelle. I swear I saw him tap Michelle on her butt. I'm like, yo, I know I've seen that. Maybe it's just me.
I think I've seen that too. I ain't going to lie to you. I said, whoa, that brother looked like he just gave a little butt pat. Like, oh,
yeah. And Tiff said in the chat room, yeah.
And she whispered in his ear, hey, fat daddy.
I swear, I think, but when you see that he still hasn't lost, like, that little bit of urban swagger, you know what, well, everybody, I have mentioned, my new book, Politics Remix, comes out today, but I'm so excited, but I write in the book that Barack never lost his swagger, except when he was dancing on Ellen. I don't know who happened here. Did you see him dancing on Ellen?
Yeah, you know, but you know, when he had to keep it. You know, he had to keep it hitch style. You know, he couldn't put them elbows out. He had to keep it close in, like you couldn't. He couldn't hit the backhead bounce on him or nothing like that. You know, he couldn't drop it like it was hot. You know what I'm saying? Hit the pop on him or stuff. Hit the running man. You know, that'd have been it. This whole election was in a rap.
Hitch is one of my favorite movies. I am such a Will Smith fan. But
no, that's
Hitch is a movie that I can watch, like, on a Saturday back-to-back. And he was like, yo, keep it right here. He's just moving his hands,
This is it. Don't go outside of that. But even Michelle, because I seen Michelle look like she wanted to drop it like it was hot when she was on Ellen. I said, Michelle want to drop down, give me 50. Hold on. It looked like she really didn't do a thing. But, you know, they had the key, like, you know. Blacks in music is such a big to do. The drum is so genetic to us that, yo, you know, that drum get the rocking hard. You're like, hold up. You know, you get the bite in that bottom lip and start going, cat. But I'm going to tell you something, Si, what was really, I'm so happy that, you know, usually I get on, like, you know, the interviews, I'll be very serious and stuff like that about what I'm talking about, a real, you know. But I just feel so good, and I feel so good about feeling so good. You know what I'm saying?
I do too. Oh, my God, yeah. Talk about it. You're so right.
It's not just, you know, I felt good about things in my life. And then I felt good about feeling good. And feeling good about feeling good is such a good feeling.
You can't explain it. You really can't explain it. And I remember this morning, more people, and I said this at the top of the show, so many people, like, this is the first time as a grown-up we felt like it was Christmas. Like, there's this anxiety, like, hurry up and get here. Like, this anticipation. And you know something? You know, everybody knows, I watch MSNBC, number one, and then CNN and then Fox. Some people are so all right. You can tell who really does not want Barack Obama in office. Their faces look so deflated, but I have to say something. I wake up every morning to Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, and he is a Republican through and through. But he started even being a little more gentle with Obama months ago. And he said today, so many of his Republican, I can't remember, he didn't say friends, but associates or something like that, he said they're voting for Obama. And under normal circumstances, that would be, in my mother's language, like, they will say haram, like in Arabic, or like if you're a Muslim, haram is very bad. I don't know what word to say it in English.
Yeah,
but that's
taboo, they say. You know,
okay, like taboo. But that would be considered haram. Like, the worst thing you could possibly do is to be a Republican and vote Democrat, you know, vote for a Democrat. But he said people actually believe in this guy. And so it even touches to what my grandmother was saying about Barack Obama really being God's gift, because this is much bigger than Republican, Democrat, black, white, Indiana versus, you know, a blue state like California. Like, they're, all the barriers are being broken.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I wanted to say about Barack Obama that it resonates with me. There was something you said earlier that kind of brought that to mind. And that it was that, you know, he's so cool, right? You know, and the thing about Barack is that it's not even really that he's so cool, you dig? Because to me, honestly, he's really, he's cool. He is so cool, but he's not that, right? Like, you know, like, oh, he's cool. Like, he's not that. He's not, to me, he's an average dude, you dig it? But the thing about him that, why he contrasts so, severely, so, you know, so acutely, why he contrasts so much is that, you know, we've had years of this portrayal of a black man to be contrary to that.
Yes.
And I'll be honest with you, I blame a lot of the entertainment, you know, and entertainers for it.
We talked about that yesterday. The last 2 days on the show, we have talked about that. Continue, and I'll tell you what we've talked about for the last 2 days on the show.
Well, it seems to me, and my biggest pet peeve is with comedians and rappers, because rappers have portrayed this archetype of the black villain. You dig that, you know, or the oversexed, hyper-masculine male.
Mm-hmm.
But comedians have portrayed the black coward. You dig? You know, and if you look at a lot of comedians' jokes, right, their jokes is always based on, well, you know, black people and white people are so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a black man walked in the house this morning, you know, we wouldn't be there long enough to find out what's going on. We'd be like, oh, I'm running up. You know, and it's always like, wow, it's not this black coward image that we sell, that they selling, to make us look so soft. Like, everything that go on, we running from, we so scared, we so, you know, it used to be black sensibility that, you know, we didn't do stupid stuff because we knew better. Like, if we heard some noise, we knew to get the heck out the house. We ain't sit around there and be waiting for no monster to come up out the house. But now it's just, you know, we like eyes popping out our head running, you know. And so, you know, or everything we do, we got to always be out there, you know. You know, if you talk about, you know, if a white person does it, they're very straight-laced, and it becomes almost cool how they deal with situations when you hear these comedians talk about it. But black people, we got to always be out there carrying on, you know, super country-fied, and we got to be out there like, you know, I guarantee you this. Some comedian is going to tell a joke about the election. He said, oh, the election, I guarantee you, mark my words. And if it comes true, y'all got to holler at me on this. He's going to tell some joke, and the gist of the joke is going to be that, you know, you could tell the difference between white people and black people when you went to the election. Yo, when I went to the polls, you know, you seen white people, oh, man, they looked like they was going to a funeral. They was holding it quiet and just, you know, like, oh, man, you know, we lost the country. We lost the power, right? But black people, oh, man, we was partying, dog. We had the, you know, we had the barbecue out. Uncle Ned was cooking ribs and, you know, all man got Kool-Aid out. We was in there. Like, I guarantee you somebody going to have a joke. Like, it's going to be considerably more funny than the way I'm telling it.
But listen to this. I want to read something, and then I have another caller I'm going to have to pick up in a second. Don't hang up, though. A lot of people are saying, yeah, step and fetch it. You know, that type of comedy. I want to pick up this caller real quick, but I want to get into D.L. Hughley's show because he had on his show on CNN 2 weeks ago Freddie Mac, and Freddie Mac was a pimp on CNN. I got more emails to write to CNN, but yet nobody ever said let's step to BET about this, and BET has been doing this for years. Let me pick up this caller from 404. This is Cy Brown, NY Oil, and just everybody hanging out on a Saturday. Who's this joining us from the 404?
Hey there, Cy, it's Dee Dee.
Oh, Dee Dee! Everybody, this is the show's publicist, Dee Dee. What's going on, girl?
Hey, I couldn't hear on my computer, so I called in. I couldn't miss this. And I'm retweeting on Twitter to get more people to come in the chat room and join us. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, everybody's going to hear our side conversation. I did get a couple calls yesterday, but I'm not going to say names because I'm talking to you on the air. But,
Okay.
I got some confirmation, so it's all good. So I'm going to put you back on hold.
No problem.
I didn't recognize Dee Dee's number, everybody. Dee Dee's the publicist for the show, so that's what it is. But let me speak real quick, and I want to read something as well. D.L. Hughley's show, before I went to pick up Dee Dee's call, on Saturday, you know, everybody said, oh, this is the worst kind of comedy, it's not funny, this and that, and all these other things. But yet, BET has been having, and I'm saying this to speak to your issue, NY, about the comedians and the rappers, they've been doing that on BET for years.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, again, this is about, you know, not just about personal accountability, but being brave enough and courageous enough to hold other people accountable, which I think we're not doing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think that we have this laissez-faire attitude about, you know, letting everything be everything and not being a hater and don't want to criticize nobody as if that diminishes us. But the fact of the matter is that having a good sense to know and to say if something ain't right, something ain't the way it's supposed to be, that there ain't nothing wrong with that. You dig? That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to stay, you know, like, yo, that's corny, son. You know, yo, what you talking about? That's corny. You know, like, there's certain things that, you know, it's just not funny. You know, or even if it is funny, it might be funny, but it's like, yo, that's, you know, that ain't funny here. You know, that's corny. Okay? Don't put us out there like that. You know what I'm saying? Big us up. Big the home team up, homeboy. Don't be putting us out there like we cornballs and cowards and fools and, you know, whores and all this kind of, like, you know, that kind of thing. We have to be the ones to call an end to it. And it's very simple how we do it. It's just by supporting the people that we think are repping us to the fullest, going out and buying the albums, attending their shows, being at their concerts, you know, showing your physical support for somebody that you think is what's up, and also ignoring, not sitting up there giving these dudes press, conversing about them for no whole show. I'm not going to converse about the D.L. Hughley show at all, because that's my opinion of it. It doesn't warrant my conversation. You
right.
Did? So I'm not even going to big that up. I'm in any direction. You know, I think a lot of times, and I was saying this when I was at the National Action Network the other day, speaking about the hip hop and youth divide, that, you know, we keep being a people about boycotts. You know,
right.
Always boycotting something. And when we boycott something, we end up giving it press, making more people interested in it, and increasing the sales. When the fact of the matter is that we just need to quietly be about a boycott, you know, and say, hey, listen, these are the people that we support. These are the people that are doing the type of things that's conducive to our condition. We're going to support them. We're going to utilize our economics in that direction, and we're going to show our power just the way we're going to show our power this today, November 4th, by being out there in droves, supporting and voting, you know, showing actual, tangible commitment to the things that we believe and say that we believe in, you know what I'm saying?
Do you think people are actually going to change now that Barack is probably going to be our president? Do you think we're going to change our MO? And I say that because black people keep bringing, and I heard this, I want to say it correctly, but I can't, I want to get it correctly. Black people keep bringing a knife to a gunfight. So I hope I'm saying it correctly. Like, we keep coming to the fight with the wrong equipment. You see what I'm saying? We're coming with a butter knife to a gunfight. We're not coming properly equipped to fight the war in which we are engaged in. Do you think when Barack becomes president, black people will become more equipped, or we will equip ourselves better for the fight that lies before us?
Well, let me say this. In my life, what I've done is I've always gauged what I think people are going to do by what I do. For example, if a cat like me is up at 4:30 in the morning sitting outside in front of the polling plate, you dig? I know the hood is out. I know cats is outside. You know what I mean? I know that if I did it, and I know if you just say you won in a million, there's 100,000 more like you. That means 100,000 more, because if it was like a, you know, so what, 80 billion people on the planet, that means it's, you know, that means it's about a million more like you. You dig it? So, you know, or 8 million more like you. So if I did it, I know that there might be 8 million more people that's with it like I'm with it. You dig? Because,
yeah.
So that's just my belief, you know, like, yeah, there might be a lot more people. I just got to find those people. If those people got touched, then this is a good look. So, you know, I know what I feel. You know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, I've always autonomously or whatever's going on have tried hard.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe in You know, I'm going to try to the day I die. I'm not going to give up. I really believe in the things I believe in. I believe in what I am and who I am and what that there's a better day promised to us. And so I'm going to just keep trying hard. And Barack Obama's candidacy and the things that he's accomplished have been, let me say this. Bob Marley got this song, I think it's called Who Is Mr. Brown?
Mm-hmm.
And the song is this point where he's calling to God. He's like, animals, Jaja, this is your chance. He's like, take your chance. Prove yourself. Oh, yeah, right? He's asking God to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, oftentimes I heard that song, and as much as I love the song Mr. Brown, that line always just, made me uncomfortable because, like, how you going to ask God to prove himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I think about sometimes my experiences at NY Oil right now. And, my record doesn't sell, nowhere near anything like 50 cents or these dudes that talk all this filth, right? And,
mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to do this job side, Like, I think I'm a pretty good speaker as speakers go. I don't get to speak.
Yeah, you are.
I don't do a bunch of speaking engagements. This is not a lucrative thing for me, And there are times that I really despair, and I'd be like, man, And then I understood what the line meant, because there's times when I'd just be asking God, I'd be like, oh, God, please, please show, prove that this means something. It's just too much. This is like evil be winning so much, man.
It's hard. It's very, very difficult.
And I just want to win finally. I just want to see us win something, because I'm just getting so discouraged. Please, gosh, prove yourself. I know that you exist because I breathe air every day. But, I need something that transcends that right now. I need something that shows me that you just didn't put us on here and left us to our own mechanisms, And so when you see something happen that proves, he's proven something for me. Like, wow, look, this brother did what he had to do. He didn't break stride. He didn't, he may not have done it the way I would have wanted him to do it, but guess what? I ain't do it. So guess I can't call it. Like, I'm not going to criticize it. I got to let him do what he's doing because he's doing it his way. So when I see him do this, it's an encouragement. So I know for myself that I'm be able to make it maybe one or two more weeks as NY Oil. I'll be able to push another month maybe as to doing this, despite the difficulty and how hard it is for me. I'll be able to do it another month maybe. I got another month and a half maybe on the strength of what Barack did. I might collapse past inauguration, you dig it, if something happened because, God provided me with just a few more breadcrumbs to get me to this destination, because it seemed like that's what God do. He like to toss that little breadcrumb. He don't give you the full meal because he needs you to get where you're going first. So he gives you just enough to sustain you to get where you're going. So I'm going to be sustained by this, and I'm going to get where I'm going. And I'm going to hope that brothers and sisters out there, people of all creeds and colors and genders, are inspired in the same way to accept that, God's given me another breadcrumb. He's given me another encouragement, another moment to pick myself up, even when I feel like it's just like it's all but lost. He gave me that one more thing to say, let me get up and try one more time. Let me try a little bit harder. Let me keep pushing. Why do you say pray until something happens?
Yeah, push.
Yeah, let me keep on pushing then. Let me just keep on pushing until this thing gives, And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to do
that. That's what a lot of churches say. Pray, push means pray until something happens. I just want to tell you, in the chat room, the High Road was asking, is this the brother from last Tuesday? And I laughed because that's what we were talking about at the top of the show. and said, what's his name again? It's NY Oil. And Dee Dee put in the chat room, NY Oil, pushing, good philosophy, never give up, never surrender. That's the hard part. And the reason why I think nothing is ever going to happen is because I'm such a cynic. I just want to read to you all something that I wrote. This is actually what's on the back of the book Politics Remixed. And on the very top of the book, there's a quote from Michelle Obama, a speech that she made at UCLA in February of 2008. Barack Obama will require you to work. He is going to demand that you shed your cynicism, that you put down your divisions, that you come out of your isolation, and that you move out of your comfort zone, that you push yourselves to be better, and that you engage. Barack will never allow you to go back to your lives as usual, uninvolved, uninformed. You have to stay at the seat at the table of democracy with a man like Barack Obama, not just on Tuesday, but a year from now, in 4 years from now, in 8 years from now. You will have to be engaged. And so my response to that is this. The candidacy of Barack Obama has forced us to rethink the way we view and do American and global politics. Politics Remix, The Gospel of Action, is designed to empower American citizens with the same foundational knowledge of government our elected officials possess, to hold them accountable, and to collectively better the world in which we live by serving others. Once empowered, I believe the odorous injustices that clog the lungs of liberty will evaporate, and a great and aware America will prevail. I wrote this book to empower people so that we can all take part in government, the global conversation of democracy, and our future. Knowledge truly is power. Saida Brown. And I think what did it for me with Barack was when I read that quote from Michelle, when she said, he's asking you to put down your cynicism, because that's what happens. When you see, when you, like when you're saying, when you get up, you get knocked down. You get up, you get knocked down. You get up, you get knocked down. You get up, you're like, gee, what is the point of even getting out of the bed? And I've said this publicly, and Dee Dee knows this personally. I have suffered from severe bouts of depression where I could not even get out of the bed. Could not even get out of the bed, don't want to talk to anybody, don't want to return phone calls, don't want to email anybody. And it's because my highs used to be very high and my lows used to be very low. But it's because once you get beaten up by life so much, and that happens a lot to leaders. I say this not because I go through trials and tribulations in my life as, you know, like bad things happening. That's what a lot of leaders go through that. That's a sign and a clear indication that you are a leader, because so much rests on our shoulders. And I'll tell you, when I was working with KRS-One, I used to ask him, how do you do it? How do you get through your day being KRS-One? Like, really? And he was like, Sai, I just get up and do it. You know, I just get up and do it. And that answer never really satisfied my query. But after considering very seriously on several occasions to commit suicide, I just was like, you know what, I have to live. So when you were saying how, you know, it's hard for black men to get up, I think you guys are the strongest people on the face of the planet. I really honestly do. And that's why you're attacked as viciously and as savagely as you really are, because once black men stand up and, I believe, become the black men and fathers and husbands that they're supposed to be and take their rightful seat at the table, this world will be forced to bow down. And I'm hoping and praying the candidacy of Barack Obama changes the mindset of those brothers on the street, those niggas from around the way, those, oh, that's my dude. You know, I'm hoping that swagger changes, the black men stand a little more erect, and we they take their rightful place. I'm very hopeful.
I'm hoping that as well. I just to touch on something that you wrote in the book, the I think that was a great quote to pick up, because what it reminds me of a verse that is in a song by Curtis Mayfield, A Choice of Colors. And if anybody on there is not familiar with Curtis Mayfield, y'all got to really, you know, got to listen to some Curtis. That's serious business. That's some real heavy duty revolutionary black liberation music that is just smooth dude. You know, God rest. So, Curtis had in a song, there's a point where, in the chorus part of the bridge, he says, you know, people must prove to the people that a better day is coming. for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation, we'll make a better society. The line that really catches me in that is the part that says that now people must prove to the people. Because what happens is that sometimes we forget that those of us who have leadership quality, let's say, are still people that need the people to prove to them that being a leader, taking on, I mean, you know, look, black leadership, all of us somewhere secretly are scared for Barack Obama's life.
I asked my grandmother that.
Can you dig it? And because one of us know what the price has been for leading blacks, especially when you're progressive and you're doing your thing. All of us know what that means and what that's
mm-hmm.
what that's amounted to for us. So, you know, when I remember when I made the song Y'all Should All Get Lynched, I would sit down with my kids and say, look, you know, this thing I'm doing, I had to explain to them that, you know, some people belong to themselves. Some people belong to their family. Some people belong to their community. Some people belong to the world. If what's happening with this song is happening as we see it happening, I may belong to the world, which means I may have to pay a price for that.
Right.
And that we have to be, y'all have to be of a mind to accept that and be prepared that anything can happen. You know, so this is the type of, you know, this is the conversation I had with my children about what I may be facing as an artist doing the type of music and standing on the principle that I'm standing on. You know, I mean, saying the type of things that I say about other rappers, you know how some of these dudes go, they savage, because some of these dudes are serious business. Like, I mean, you know, my fight game is real good, but, hey, Jack, you know, hey, how many people you want to whoop? You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, so, you know, you go in a club, you get yourself turned out. You know, so you know how this industry is, so you in it, you already know what it is. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you say these things, and when you stand up for the people, you really are putting your life at risk. Every time I watch Barack Obama on television, he be in these big open fields, these open stadiums. Yo, I be like, you know, I sometimes can't even watch it because I'm so scared. Like, oh, man, they're going to get it. You know, why he got him out so open like this? He need to be in a Pope-mobile or something. Because, you know, something's going to happen. You know, I get scared. You know what I'm saying? Because I know the danger he's facing. And, you know, but this brother is putting himself on the line. And now it's time for the people to prove to the people that a better day is coming. It's not, you know, it's not just the leaders. It's the people, the everyday people, the ones, the people that are listening, everybody on the chat room, you know what I'm saying, the high rollers, the tips. It's time for y'all to prove to the people that a better day is coming. And I know Tiff actually has a radio show, so she's doing something, so she might be a little transcendent. But the fact of the matter is, it's time for us to prove to one another that a better day is possible, that we're ready to stand up for the opportunity and the possibility of greater things, and we're ready to make the sacrifices, and that we're willing to, we'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees as we've lived on our knees for so many years. But it's time for the people to do that, because leadership becomes weak without no one to really, truly follow. And, you know, like I said, as you know, I struggle. I can't, it's hard to find people that will do the simple things that would make this thing so much easier and so much more possible, because the people are unwilling, so defeated, we're so cynical. Cynicism has the, apathy is one of the greatest crimes.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Apathy is a crime. You know, when you get to the point, everything is blasé, whatever, it ain't gonna work, nobody cares about that. It is such an arrogant ignorance that it's disgusting. You know, people say, oh, the vote, the, you know, I don't matter if I don't vote, it don't matter if I don't vote. It does matter, Paul, it does.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Even if it does, listen, all electoral college, you got, you know, and remember I said when I wanted to come back, I wanted to talk about conspiracy theories. I'm going to make this particular comment brief only because
well,
I know we got.
Well, let's go into it. We can go into it.
Here's the thing about these conspiracy theories and all of that. Now, mind you, I believe in a lot of conspiracy theories because a lot of things be just straight common sense. Like, I just refuse to believe that 10 dudes from Saudi Arabia co-hijacked these planes after learning how to fly Cessna-type planes, and they're going perfectly ram them into the Twin Towers like that. I just don't believe it. It's all things being equal, the simplest thing is most possible. I forget how the phrase go, but you know, the simplest explanation is probably true. Well, that explanation does not seem true. You know what I mean? I don't believe it, right? I do believe, you know, the buildings fall down perfectly like this. My mother
yeah.
was out. Some buildings ain't gonna fall out perfectly like that. It's a lie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that's a lie. You know what I mean? I know for a fact from when I was a kid, I used to get Popular Science magazine, and I remember reading about the little chip, the buried chip. They was talking about this back in 85. You dig? You know, they was talking about a remote control plane back in 85. This is not new technology. You have people got flight control right now that they can just walk away from the machine and just let him do it himself. You know, the plane fired itself. It's like, I didn't know what to do. I ain't got to do nothing but land in the Joker. So do I believe that that's – no, I don't believe that. Do I think that the levees was intentionally exploded? Yes, I believe they exploded those levees in New Orleans. I think that they did that because they wanted to take that land over, do what they had to do. I think that all these hurricanes that are popping up, you know, they've been able to see the weather for years. I believe that. I believe that they're aliens. And I think that – I mean, that's how seriously – I believe that there are people from other planets that are in communication with the heads of people in this – In this world, that they know what we don't know. That's why they all racing to get off into space, why they racing to explore Mars, because they know what we don't know. And if the day comes that the reason why we can't know, because if the day comes that a flying saucer come landing down in the middle of Manhattan, everybody's going to stop, because ain't nobody going to know what to do with themselves, because your whole world changes. What you believe in religiously, what you believe in socially, civilization gets destroyed. So they can't give you this information until they prepare the minds of the people for it. All that's cool. You dig it, Si? But guess what? What ends up happening is with these conspiracy theories is that they bring you absolutely nowhere. At the end of it, all it does is make you cynical and makes you just question a bunch of stuff that really you can't do anything about.
But you know what? Wait a minute. Is that you with your hand? Oh, no, I already got you on the air. I saw something. But you know what? The thing is, and why, like, we look at all the conspiracy theorists and we look at all of everything that's going on with the candidacy, I think it's safe to assume that the general consensus is not that we were attacked. And I remember I was talking to a very good friend of mine when the planes were attacked. We were actually sending instant messages back and forth. And he put in AOL, Yosai, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And I was like, yeah, right. And he was like, no, Si, I'm serious. Planes just hit the World Trade Center. And I remember so clearly joking back with him, like, yeah, you see what happens when I leave New York. And he was like, come on, Si, this is for real. And I remember him telling me that he was hearing, like, planes and stuff, like, above his house. And I'm like, everybody was so paralyzed at that point in America. And here I am in Atlanta with KRS. And I remember when KRS said America had a lot to do with this. Let's look at the World Trade Organization. Let's look at all of these things. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, as a publicist, let me go into damage control here. But you know what? He had a lot of very valid points. And that's why a lot of people look at the candidacy of Barack Obama and feel, yo, this dude is coming from one of two places. Either number one, he's got a lot of money and some invisible snowmen behind him, or he's sent from God. So I think when you look at either of the places, it's that cynical place. It's that real cynical place that makes people say, yo, I don't know.
But here's the thing, Si. Here's the problem with that. Let's use another example. Nas puts out an album, he calls it the N-word, right? Until he ends up untitled. You dig it? So here it is, I'm arguing with Hakeem from Channel 5.
Oh, we should have had him too. Bring him into the conversation.
Yeah, you know. We have in this long-form discussion about the N-word. And I'm like, son, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. He's regaling me with this whole, you know, he yapping my ear off about some old, oh, well, it's really the word is Naga from the, I'm not your son. That's pure nonsense. Because you ain't talking about no Naga when you calling your brethren the N-word. You ain't talking about no royalty or no regal God. You ain't even aware of that all this time you've been saying. You just got hit to this. You know, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. So now you're sitting up there running around your co-sign of somebody using the most ignorant terms and giving license to white kids and other races to use them terms in reference to us. Meanwhile, they're not trying to be wetbacks, German oven mitts, Christ killers, all that kind. They're not trying to be under that. But you allowing that for some little bit of half-baked knowledge that you got from some, you know, some you know, hip-hop scholar who whatever it is that they saying they been at. You know what I mean? They talk about some knowledge. It's like, yo, cause a lot of stuff people talk about, right? All these things, like even biblical stuff. This is, you know, you got to be careful with what people say to you. Because a lot of people, that stuff they talk about, this stuff is still there.
Yeah.
And see this stuff with your own eyes. You can go see the pyramids with your own eyes and see what's there. It's not like this stuff don't exist. But what happens is that people are such a lazy thinking people that you can put up a YouTube vid, that a little 15-minute YouTube vid with some eerie music and a bunch of little flashing images and go ahead and tell some long-winded story about something that's like, yo, so where does that bring me after all of this is said and done? You know what it reminds me of about, like, a lot of, like, the Moorish brothers? No disrespect to them. But you get to talking to the Moors and the brothers that think they sovereign. Yo, I'm a sovereign. You're not no sovereign. Because if the police pull you over, you're going to be locked up. If you don't pay your taxes, guess what? You're going to be using that money that you said is useless, that you're not supposed to have anything to do with. You're going to be using that to pay your lawyer to get your sovereign tail out of jail.
Well, isn't that what happened to Wesley Snipes? Because I heard that's why he...
Yes, that's what happened, Si. He got they G'd him up, like, he didn't have to pay taxes. Whoopty whip, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this, yeah, that. You ain't got to pay it because of this little caveat here. Oh, this little loophole here. And now he's bidding right now for that same nonsense. For a little bit of knowledge, because a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. We need to be, and listen, I'm not telling people to walk around blind, deaf, and dumb. I'm not, like I said, I just got finished telling, I think they're space aliens. So obviously I don't think that I'm not one of these people that I'm just accepting what the man tells.
Somebody hit me up in the chat room and let me know if you can hear me. All right, it's Cy Brown. It's 108. We're halfway through the show, and I'm hoping that everybody can hear me.